Speak to you today briefly, and I do promise to be brief. Can I get a hand for being brief? Hold me to that promise. About clarity. Our gospel is about as clear as it gets. Love one another as I have loved you. Say it with me, please. Love one another as I have loved you. Why is this so hard? Some of you know that I've recently published a book, biography of a man by the name of Fethullah Gülen. He's a Turkish preacher, a faithful Muslim, and a man of peace, kind of an Islamic Martin Luther King Jr. Mahatma Gandhi hybrid. In his most accessible book, Toward a Global Civilization of Love and Tolerance, Mr. Gülen writes, in the very first sentences, and I quote, love is the most essential element of every being, and it is the most radiant light, and it is the greatest power. Able to resist and overcome all else. End quote. Love, as God loves us, is a power. The power of creation itself, like the power of spring. So, let's be perfectly clear. Love is power. Say that with me too. Love is power. When we say we will love someone as God loves them, it means we empower them. We give them power. We want them to exercise their power to the utmost. It's because power has become a dirty word tainted with the violence of force that we don't see love as the power that it is, as the most radiant light, able to resist and overcome all else, as Mr. Gülen puts it. So where do we see this love around us, you might ask? If love is so powerful, why are our politics so screwed up? Can I get an amen? Love is the power of springtime. The clarity of the greening power happening all around us. In Latin, which is where the word clarity comes from claritas, the qualities of transparency, coherence, and lucidity, which are symptoms for clarity, are properly used to point to God. So clarity isn't just understanding or something internal or subjective. Clarity properly is divine glory, like the glory of spring, even on a day like today. We're fortunate here in Wisconsin to experience vividly the changing of the seasons and the kind of power that each displays among us. Winter's ice, summer's heat, fall's colors. Each of these is a kind of power, right? Each season finally comes, and nothing can stop it. There's a power there able to resist and overcome all else, like love. But it is spring. The rain and the gradually warming air that points us clearly to the power of love to resurrect even the deadest among us. It's an analogy, and no analogy is perfect, but if you want to understand resurrection, if you want to understand Easter, the liturgical season we are still in, if you want to understand love's power, consider a single growing plant. Some of you know that I like to garden. I plant all kinds of things, but what I especially like to grow in tiny little seed pots that I start in March is basil. And I love it when those tiny little basil seeds that this year my grandson Jackson and I planted begin to peek their way up out of the soil, seeking the light that will strengthen them and sustain them. I then water those little babies carefully, thinning out the seedlings and dropping sometimes single droplets of water at the base of the emerging plant. Such tenderness is power. Make no mistake. Such love is power. Power that will eventually produce a big bushing plant that when I cut off its branching limbs and grind up the leaves and add a little garlic and olive oil and pine nuts will give me the pesto that I can freeze throughout the winter, thaw, and then enjoy with a little pasta and maybe a glass of red wine. A single plant can give us joy throughout the year, even after it is no longer alive. When we are clear about love's power, the most simple thing, a single plant, can reveal God's glory. And I'd like to invite anyone who worked in faith formation and education this year to please come forward at this time. So, being a Sunday school teacher, a faith formation leader, is a noble and rewarding way to participate in the life of this church, right? You take with you a basil plant that you can enjoy throughout the summer as a token, a sign of the love that you've shared and God's love for you as well. Because that is what we teach here, what we practice here, what we preach here, what we put into practice in our everyday lives. Say it clearly with me again. It's what Christianity means. Love one another as I have loved you. One more time. Love one another as I have loved you. And this is why I enjoy so much the vision of Revelation in our first reading today, the reading that Julie shared with us. The vision of a new heaven and a new earth. It's one of my favorite passages in Scripture, actually. Because it's not a historical prediction of what's going to happen in the apocalyptic future. It's a God-driven change in how we see things right now. Because love does that. Love changes us. When God dwells among us, as the passage says, whatever is broken in our lives, love can put back together. When God dwells among us, whatever is death-dealing in our lives, love can redeem. When God dwells among us, whatever is uncertain in our lives, love can clarify. Why is this so hard? Fethullah Gulen understands that love encounters obstacles. He has repeatedly encountered obstacles in his life. He's been imprisoned, had to go on the run for 6 years, and now is slandered as a terrorist because he preaches the power of love. We've heard that story before, haven't we? And yet he has maintained clarity on one thing. God is love, and we can love one another because God loves us. The sentence I'm having you repeat with me, following Jesus, is not just an imperative, not just a command, love one another as God loves us. It's also a statement of fact. Fact and possibility. We can love one another because God, the creator of the universe, loves us. And when we put it that way, the reason it's so hard becomes clear. Our ego gets in the way, doesn't it? Our greed gets in the way. Our desire to hang on to those enemies who help us to define us versus them gets in the way. Now, one of the most misunderstood words in the public discussion about Muslims and Islam is the word jihad. You've probably heard it referred to as holy war. How many have heard the word jihad in the news? Jihad, jihadis, etc. Holy war is one of the meanings. But jihad is the defensive, and that's important, effort to prevent an occupying army from taking over your land. It must be declared by an authorized government. and it cannot be undertaken by an individual. And such military jihad is what Orthodox Muslim theologians like Yulin call the lesser jihad, the lesser struggle, because that's what the word means literally, jihad, to struggle. But the greater jihad, teaches Yulin and every Orthodox Muslim, the greater struggle of every Muslim, and I would say the greatest struggle of every Christian, is that struggle to overcome one's ego, to get out of God's way, and to let the clarity of love prevail. Because love is power. And God's way of love created this world and renews it with each season, because in Jesus, God came to dwell among us, demonstrating love and its resurrection power. And love brings clarity of purpose. Love brings clarity of calling. Love brings clarity of compassion. Love brings clarity of courage. Love brings clarity of understanding. Love brings clarity of commitment. So let's be clear. Love one another as I have loved you. Say it with me one more time just so that we're all clear. Love one another as I have loved you. And now let's hear some more clarity.